Hey, sweetie, your mother showed me this Carvana thing for selling the car. I'm going to give it a try. Wish me luck. Me again. I put in the license plate. It gave me an offer. Unbelievable. Okay, I accepted the offer. They're picking it up Tuesday from the driveway. I haven't even left my chair. It's done. The car is gone. I'm holding a check. Anyway, Carvana, give it a whirl. Love ya.
So good, you'll want to leave a voicemail about it. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
Good Monday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell. We're going to be here for, well, Lance, please, because he's lazy, while Dell and I, we persevere through four rugged hours of radio right here.
I'd say the listeners persevere.
Well, that is kind of true. But here we are after another weekend of football and another, I don't even know how to call what to call this one for the Texans. It's just an amazing the way over these 19 or 20 years, the way that they have found to lose some games. This is right up there.
This is up there pretty high.
Yeah.
This is up there pretty high to fumble a snap or miss snap the ball down at the 2-yard line for a chance to win a game where the defense held up. Boy, once again, some questionable stuff by Frank Reich. Questionable decisions in a Texans game.
Why not kick the field goal?
Why not kick the field goal? You go for it. Why not bring in your short yardage quarterback, Jacoby Brissett, and Jonathan Taylor, who had been slashing the Texans. Instead, he has Naeem Hines and Phillip Rivers back there. Like, that doesn't make any sense. You kick a field goal, you take it to seven.
Yeah.
You know, so.
It was crazy.
It was a very. It was a very strange turn of events, I thought. And then for the Texans, you know, right down the field, Deshaun Watson march. Right down the field. And it ends at the 2-yard line with a bad snap, a fumble that the Colts recover. And the Texans now fall to 4-8. They had a chance to go to 5-7. Look, they had to win out to go 9-7. And that would barely give them a chance to, you know, to get into the playoffs. Like it would take some help.
Yeah.
But it still was a point that they were trying to win 3 in a row, and it would have been a big win for them coming back against the Colts, who looked like they were about to shove their Texans face in the mud until they stepped up and made a play on 4th and 1.
Yep.
That's what they did.
And then the snap, and Deshaun, I can't blame him. I'm positive. Deshaun has never lost like this, right? I mean, when Deshaun is on your team, be it your Pee Wee football team or your little league team or whatever team it is that Deshaun is on, his college football, his high school football team, whatever team Deshaun is on, Deshaun wins. Deshaun just wins.
Yeah, he does.
And so this has got to be awfully difficult. When him on the sideline with the towel over his head was, you know, pretty telling of how difficult this is. I'm not going to, you know, Deshaun's got, he's loaded. He's got his money. You know what? Ain't nobody going to take away his happiness. And you know what? But here's the deal: this is not easy. It's not easy to be losing like this, the way that they're losing. And I don't know. Is there a light at the end of the tunnel? I don't even know that there's a light right now. I really don't.
No. I mean, the only light you say is that Deshaun Watson's still making plays, and even with, you know, his receivers out, he made plays. He found guys. Kiki Coutinho.
What about Hansen?
Busted. Chad Hansen over 100 yards. I wrote him up when he came out of Cal. He was a pretty good wide receiver. Got drafted by the Eagles.
It was the Jets.
Never made a dent. So when I saw him coming off the practice squad, I said last week, I kind of liked the guys they were bringing off the practice squad. It was Hansen and one other player who's a veteran. They had Corey Legit, Hansen, and there was one other guy that came off the squad. And I'm like, oh, they're all guys with some veteran stuff. Hansen really hasn't played a ton of football, even though he was drafted in middle rounds. But you could see he was getting open. That's why you can find receivers, too, by the way. You can find running backs. You can find receivers. You don't have to give up the highest price. You know, the Kenny Stills of the world. This is my point when we got Kenny Stills. Best case scenario, he's a wide receiver three. In your best case scenario, those guys go for like six round picks, fifth at best if the contract's favorable. Because you can find wide receivers. A good quarterback can make Chad Hansen look good. And I'm not saying Chad Hansen has some ability. I mean, Chad Hansen may end up being, this may have been a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, forget Isaiah Coulter. Hansen doing this, you may say, hey, you just found your third receiver. You may have accidentally found your third receiver off, you know, a guy who was drafted and didn't do anything, is wandering around, and the Texans find him off the scrap heap, and he ends up becoming a player. That could easily be the case.
That absolutely could happen. I mean, they haven't had that little Danny Amendola kind of guy.
And Hansen's actually an outside wide receiver.
Yeah. No.
I mean, he's a guy with a little bit of size.
That's what I'm saying. You know, all the other teams.
Don't you hear that? He immediately
went
to the Texans. Don't have their little Amendola. Well,
he's a man who sees race everywhere he looks.
No.
He doesn't see
it. Can we rank the best white wide receivers in Texans history? Kevin Walter.
David Anderson.
David Anderson. Kevin Walter. Is Chad Hansen moved ahead of Anderson here?
No.
Not yet.
Not after one game. Well, he had over 100 yards.
Well, David Anderson,
I mean, it's getting
combined
close.
Has had over 100 yards, right?
Yeah, but combined.
Yeah, let Chad, what's his name again?
Hansen.
Chad Hansen do it more than once.
Yeah.
How about that?
So the ranking is Kevin Walter, David Anderson, and Chad Hansen?
Kevin Walter on the back of winning the division with that touchdown.
Well, yeah, he caught the touchdown pass to put him in the playoffs for the first time.
Correct. But Hansen is moving up on David Anderson pretty fast.
Yeah. No. After one game, he's right on David Anderson's heels.
No. You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
Well, David Anderson goes on the other station, so we don't care. We can insult him. Yeah, I think he's over there a lot. The list isn't very long. And it's not hard to move up. So get going, Chad Hansen. But there were
some guys who made some plays on the defensive side of the ball when you needed it. Charles Minnehu made a tackle for a loss. Got in there. JJ made a couple plays in yesterday's game. The Texans did enough. They did enough to steal a win in the fourth quarter. But Nick Martin just had a bad snap. I mean, it's hard to explain.
Jacob Martin had a sack.
Yeah.
Jacob
Martin off the edge.
Yeah.
Showed you. I still like Jacob Martin. I mean, the Whitney Merciless, I thought you had a curious tweet where
Whitney Useless is his name now.
You called him Whitney Useless. Did you get that from somewhere else?
No, I made it up.
That's pretty good. I hate to give him credit, Dale. I don't like giving credit on this show, but Useless is pretty good.
It's pretty great stuff. They went and they swept right and Whitney just got waylaid, I was like, man, he's useless. Oh, my God, that's pretty good.
Useless. If I just break up the useless into useless, this works. If I turn two syllables to three, we can make this happen.
This is happening. Did he come up empty again on the flipping scoreboard? Did he come up empty on the stat sheet? Because it's
Dell, what do we call that in soccer?
When you come up
with a bunch of zeros?
Well, I don't know.
That's a clean sheet.
That's a compliment to the team or
to
the
goalie.
Goalie.
No, but this is a football clean sheet.
This is different.
Whitney Merciless has his own clean sheet. Usually clean sheet means is it no fouls? It can't mean no fouls. It's no goals.
Well, it's not a clean sheet. His name doesn't even come up in the stat sheet.
That's a clean sheet.
No.
Whitney had a clean sheet.
Oh, my goodness.
So
his
he did
name
not even an assist.
Even come up.
Not even an assist.
Not even an assisted tackle.
So either one of us could have played and charted the same way that he did.
Oh, I could have gotten taken out like he did on that sweep. Are you kidding me? Head over he went down. I was like, wow.
I could have too. I might have.
No, he's not even on the
stat
sheet.
Been on the ground for a little bit, but.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to look him up and see if PFF already has a grade for him.
You got to see.
For yesterday's game. It can't be great.
Brandon Cooks had a tackle. Brandon Cooks had a tackle, and Whitney Merciless didn't. That's not
important. He had a tackle because he thought he had a reception, and it turned into an interception where a guy was just down by contact.
Yeah, right. And that was more than Whitney Merciless.
The old Kelvin Cato rebound from the ground was the same thing.
I mean, I'm sorry, but that is the worst. That, to me, the Whitney Useless contract is the worst is the worst on the team.
Let's see.
Of all of the contracts that they gave up.
Oh, goodness. It's the lowest score I've ever seen. They gave him a 30.3. This is the lowest grade of.
Wait a minute. I want to know how he got 30.
I think it's like when you have, you know, you can't get higher than a 159.2 or whatever for a quarterback rating. I don't think they can get lower than a 30.3.
If you stand on the field, you get a 30.
I'll take it back. His run defense was a 30.1.
Yeah, well, I'm telling you, all he did was get taken out. That's it.
Pass rushes. Let me see how many pass rush. Just out of curiosity, how many hurries. It just hurries he had. Clean sheet. He had 23 pass rushes, never even had a hurry. Never even had a hurry. He's played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 games. 11 games and has 21 total pressures. That's sacks, quarterback hits, or hurries. That's incredibly terrible. 21 total pressures. And how many games did I tell you? 11?
Yeah.
In 11 games. If I were to go look at Jacob Martin, and Jacob Martin missed.
Total pressures.
Total pressures. That means a hurry. Do you know how much? Hurry just means you get around
him.
If you spit, it might land on him. That is, I'm telling you, that is a pressure. You should get 3 pressures a game if you're Whitney Mercilus. You should get 3 pressures a game, minimum. Minimum. And you get paid that much, you should get a minimum of 4. Jacob Martin this year, he has played in, let's see. Like, his snaps are way lower. And he already has 16 pressures and 13 hurries. Whitney has 9 hurries. Jacob Martin has 3 sacks, 13 hurries. He has 16 total pressures in 146 pass rush attempts. Whitney Mercilus let me look at Whitney Mercilus here. Whitney, as you call him, useless, which I just, has 289. Twice as many snaps, and he has 21 pressures. That's he had terrible. 9 hurries. His grade in pass rush is a 54.6. Like, there's no way around this. That contract has turned into one of the absolute worst contracts the Texans gave
out. I've been saying last year, dude, he went 9 games with a half a sack. 9 straight games.
He's got 6 this year, though.
He's got 6 sacks?
6 sacks.
You know what? They'll probably extend him and give him a raise because of his 6 sacks. It is the worst contract on the team. And that's saying, what is that saying? The worst contract on the Texans. At least Tunsil plays. At least Tunsil is good.
Who did you say have 6 sacks?
Whitney Mercilus?
No.
He has 4.
4?
Yeah. They've given him 6 on Pro Football Focus. That seemed too high to me, too.
No, it's 4. Probably.
That seemed too high to me, too.
Yeah, I don't know where they got that from.
Maybe they gave him one when there's a defensive holding and they just give it to you.
For stats purposes? For their formula purposes?
I guess. I don't know.
Whatever.
I don't know.
I mean, he's not even.
I'm just looking at this. They've got 21 pressures and they've given him 6 sacks. I was like, 6, huh? You must have thought the same thing. 6 didn't sound right to me.
That's why I looked it
way
up.
Way too high. Yeah. I haven't seen him make that kind of impact.
That's the only place that would say he has 6. Everyone else has him at 4.
The stream's down?
It's not down. No, I saw the tweet. I just pulled it up on my phone. It's not down.
It's up. It's up. People, stop making up stories about the stream like that would ever happen. 7:12.
I know it's up because I was here because I was running one of the games and I turned it on before I left. I was like, what? No, the stream's fine.
Yeah. Come on, JD. All right. 713-780-3776.
You hear that, everyone? That's the stream.
The stream's down. It's not down.
Yeah. See? Okay. That's the stream, people. That's how far behind it is.
Yeah.
All right, 713 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3. So we're going to break it down. We'll break it down for you here on ESPN 97.5. In the meantime, let's talk about a patio.
Let's talk about the only company that you need to know, and that's Texas Custom Patios. Trust me, I've done the legwork for you. It started back in 2015 for me. 2015, I got either 14 or 15. I got so excited about getting a patio. I said, you know what? I want to make my house a home. I want to really turn this into a place where I have something really cool in the backyard. I didn't like our backyard was old. You know, the stuff on it was wood on the house itself. It was old. It was cracked, you know, concrete in the back that had the rocks in it. It was just some old school 1960s thing. And then I looked through a bunch of companies, and I found the company I found that looked amazing was Texas Custom Patios. And I reached out to Stephen Shell, the owner, and I'm the reason he's on this. I said, you got to advertise, because I was so blown away by their process, how they show you exactly what the product, the project is going to look like. They tell you exactly how much it's going to cost. It never alters. They'll never charge you more for something else. And then what the timetable was. And then when you get it, it adds tremendous value to your home, because you're getting dollar for dollar value back. It's a big differentiator when somebody's looking in your neighborhood for a house and it's between your house and someone else and you got that Texas Custom Patio. It's a blowout. Not to mention, you're going to have a great time in your own outdoor space. Go look at the before and afters and see what's possible at your home at TexasCustomPatios.com.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here, and wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Man, this hurts. I'm tired of losing. Being so close over the years is just... Yeah, I mean, it's just... It's tough. It's tough.
That one was harder. I mean, that one was a little bit harder than the JJ a few weeks ago. When JJ was, he wasn't distraught. JJ was just pissed. Just pissed. It seemed like Deshaun was a little distraught.
Yeah, on the sideline with a towel over his head. I mean, it was, what do you expect? What do you expect? You go down and you don't even, you know, it's one thing if you make a play and it's intercepted, or they, you know, they make a great play on the goal line, and you just can't punch it in. That's like you got all dressed up to go somewhere, and then it got, you're a kid, you can't wait to go, you know, you can't wait to go to the jumpy, into your jumping Joey place, or wherever you're going as a kid. You're going to do paintball guns, and your mom's like, oh,
see Dell at the circle.
Oh, your dad got a flat tire. He can't. He's stuck on the side of the road. You don't get to go. You're all mad. You don't want to get mad at your dad about it. He don't want to get mad at Nick Martin, but he got screwed out of a game of paintball.
Nick Martin screwed you out of a game of paintball.
Yeah, because he's sitting there with a flat tire on the side of the
all
road.
All the times.
And that flat tire is actually, dad's been drinking too much at a bar somewhere, and they're having to bring him home.
Yeah, that happens to my
Your
kid.
Dad's got a flat tire.
That happened
your
to my
dad
kid
has
all
been,
the time.
Your dad's been drinking too much. He totally forgot he's supposed to take you to paintball, and I'm not going to put my son in that car with your deadbeat dad.
Mm-hmm. No, I've heard that plenty. So, yeah, it's like you're going to go see Dell at the carny, and he's going to clean, and you can poop in the hole, in the golf hole, and then Dell clean it up for you.
I told you, I don't clean that up.
Oh. So, Big Philly's got to call in today.
Yeah, Big Philly has got to be happy about this
one. I would imagine Big Philly's thrilled about what happened. About 8 o'clock? What time
sounds
we set
about
it up?
Right.
What time did we set it up?
8 o'clock?
8 o'clock. That'll be good. What else happened this weekend? What about, first of all, the Jets? I mean, Dell, I mean,
this looked like it was finally it. The Jets were finally going to get their win. Sam Darnold was playing well. They had a good game. They're going to beat the Raiders. Went West Coast to East Coast.
13 seconds left. Game,
13 seconds, no timeouts. Ball's at the 46-yard line of the Jets. Literally no timeouts. They might be able to get.
Did the Jets have a timeout?
I don't know because, if the Jets did.
Because if the Jets had a timeout, I'm putting this on that defense. When Greg Williams sent that call in, cover zero with a spy.
Jets had a timeout.
The Jets had a timeout left.
Yeah.
So if what, one if, of the defensive now, because who was it? Marcus May. He went off on Greg Williams. He went off. Their safety captain. He went off on Greg Williams. You know what? When that call came in, then Marcus, you need to call timeout and say, we ain't doing that. Because that's just as much on. That's just as much on him for not calling a timeout and saying no, we're not cover zero with a wait. Not it wasn't even cover zero. There was a spy. There was a spy.
So Jeff Schwartz corrected me on there. It was basically a spy. He thinks that player was supposed to guard Darren Waller, the tight end, and Waller actually stayed in the block. So he waits and then he rushes the quarterback because that's called a mug rush. If your guy, or they've got different names for it, red dogs, but if your guy stays in, then you have the green light to rush. The guy that you're going to cover, like a running back sometimes, will stay in, then you have the green light
to go. Well,
here's
the deal.
And he didn't do it. The guy sat back there and kind of skipped around and didn't do anything. And then by the time he came, there was no heat.
It was the most.
And Henry Ruggs, a 4.340 guy, barely 4.3. He's really a 4.2 guy, beat Lamar Jackson, a 4.5 guy. Lamar Jackson, cornerback. This Lamar Jackson, the cornerback's slower than the quarterback, Lamar Jackson.
Oh, most of the people in the world are slower than the quarterback.
And he's guarding one of the guys who's faster than most of the people in the world, Henry Ruggs.
Yeah.
It was a blowout. And he bit on a double move.
A rookie.
He bit on a double move. Like, double moves shouldn't matter. Your ass should be back at the goal line.
The whole team should have been back at the goal line.
Yeah, it was. So now you have Boomer Esiason, Emmanuel Acho, and others questioning, like, this almost feels like you're trying to throw a game.
I hope there's an investigation, because I remember when the Dolphins are losing games, people wanted to, they're putting their team, the whole team at risk, the health of the players and their careers. I want Mike Greenberg, the Jets fan, to go on TV today and talk about the risks the Jets are putting their players under.
I'm pretty sure he will.
All that blasphemy last year.
But listen. We're amateurs. We're novices. We don't know any. We don't, compared to coaches, we know less than nothing. And yet, that was the dumbest thing I think I've ever seen in football. And that's how long has Greg Williams been defensive coordinator?
A long time. He knows that.
Are you kidding?
He knows. Now he's known for being super aggressive, and it's not like he hasn't sent zero blitz. In these kind
but
of situations
with 13
before.
13 seconds left.
This is easy. You no timeout, you guard sidelines, and you basically create a shell, like a horseshoe, around the sideline to end zone and say, look, you boys want to throw it in here? Yeah. Go ahead. We'll come tackle you, and it'll be a race to see if you can get up and spike it and get one more play. That's it.
That's it.
Kick your field goal if you want to feel good about adding three more points, but we'd beat you. And the fact is,
unbelievable. I mean, there's no words it does. It looks like they want to lose. And I can't blame them. The Jags lost, so.
Well, what is Greg Williams won't be there either way, so what is he doing?
Yeah, right. Just losing a job, because who's going to hire him after that? I mean, especially with all the stuff that Greg Williams has had going on as a defensive coordinator throughout his life. Anyway, just unbelievable. What about the Chanticleers, boys?
Tell you what.
They like to be called the Chanticleers.
Chanticleers.
I call them the Chanticleers.
That was not a surprise to me. What was a surprise is they were an 11-point underdog. I said all week, I'm like, I watched them on the Joe Moore Awards. They got an offense that's tough to prepare for. And BYU, you know what they do. But they are a good team. Like, Coastal Carolina's got a squad. And I was shocked. I woke up on Saturday morning and looked at the numbers. I'm like, wait. I knew BYU was the favorite. I don't think we ever talked about the number here on the show, but I'm like, 11, Coastal Carolina can win this game. What are they doing as an 11-point underdog? Yeah. That was crazy to me. And it turned out to be a good game. Johnny Harris had a great tweet. He goes, think back to last year, Joe Burrow going into Tuscaloosa, taking on, you know, Alabama. You just can't wait for it. He goes, now I have not even turned over to that game to watch a single second because the game had already started. Because I got to finish watching Coastal Carolina. But he goes, this is 2020. I got to watch Coastal Carolina, BYU. This is the must watch game right now.
I didn't do that because I knew the attitude of Bama. Did you catch and what they wanted to do? Did you catch Nick Saban before the game, what he said?
No, what he said.
They beat us last year. You know, they probably have some confidence that they can play well against Alabama. So we're going to have to change the way they think when it comes to that as well.
Oh, my God.
They were about that business.
And remember now, set the scene for what happened last year. Not only did he get beat, okay, that's going to piss Nick Saban off anyway when you beat him. Not only did he get beat, and not only was it in his own field, the players were doing a ton of dancing on the field, and more importantly, and this is the biggest no-no, they ran to the end zone. Who were the players that did that? Do you remember?
I don't remember, no.
I don't remember the players, but like three or four players. There's an actual video of it from a recruit, and they were saying, don't come to Alabama. LSU's a school. Don't waste your time here. They're yelling at the recruits to come to LSU.
Well, what about Coach O? Roll Tide.
What if you?
Now, he did his own locker room, but because somebody had to cloud it up.
Somebody.
And had to make sure that they were recording it. Nick Saban found out. You didn't want that. Now, I will say Nick let off the gas. He could have hit 80. He could have just kept throwing a Devontae Smith deep all the time.
Yeah, it's so amazing how
200 yards receiving game, in one half.
That game did not. You're right. I literally didn't watch 5 minutes of it. It was so uninteresting.
I only watched.
I was at the game. I knew what stayed for one half.
You did.
Left at the half. Yeah. I got a half of. I was there to record the game for this for a company I'm working with, and I got in the suites. Like, we had to set up the cameras, and the big concern was their video guy, who's great, Doug. He goes, only concern is we want to make sure. He goes, because it's a pandemic, you got a chance. There's only 25,000 stands. He goes, I know this crowd. I don't want anyone taking those cameras from you. If you set them up in a stand somewhere, he goes, you can't just leave a camera there. He goes, they'll start jacking with them, messing with them, especially on the student side. Well, we go to the suite level.
At LSU, leaving a camera somewhere?
There's like half the suites aren't even being used. So I was able to go. I got a girl to let us in, and I was able to set them up, the three cameras in three different places. And it was interesting. It was, you know, the people were just having fun there. There was no misconception. They knew they had no chance to win. It's almost like they said, we'll take our ass kicking this year that we take. And maybe it's just against Bama. In some games, they're probably upset if they don't win. No one had any, and everyone was up there having a great time drinking, even in the stands, because they got their national championship last year. Can you imagine, though? Can you imagine having a special season? That was a special season. A quarterback comes out of nowhere, and Jeremy lends it the whole way into the greatest season the quarterback's ever had. First pick of the draft, undefeated national champs, more pro players drafted than I've ever seen in my life. Can you imagine if that was during a pandemic where only a certain amount of fans could even be in the stands?
No, that would have been so
disappointing. That would have been terrible. No one's having that kind of season. I mean, Bama's having a really good season. I was talking to Alonzo Highsmith yesterday, and he is like, you know, Bama's very quietly maybe got one of their three best teams Nick's ever had.
Yeah.
Which seems crazy.
Well, no. Dell, you love college football. I don't know that there's been a bigger disparity from number one to the rest of the
college
football.
And who's Bama's big stars on defense, Dell? Name their big star.
I mean, Pat Surtain's probably a first rounder.
That's their big star.
Their rush guys are younger, like the Anderson kids, a true freshman. You'll see those guys develop and become the next guys, but they're young. I mean, Dylan Moses, whatever. I mean, he came back because he was injured, but I don't know how the big impact he's making. Moore, the safety or nickelback, is probably going to be good, but he's a true freshman too. Malachi Moore. What were you asking, John?
Listen, Clemson, Notre Dame.
No, not even close.
They're not even close. I mean,
we saw Clemson against Notre Dame, and that was maybe the best game of the year.
Although
Alabama right now, I will say the one thing I will say is what quarterbacks are they facing in the SEC? That's always the deal.
They're facing no one, and you also have to say if they face Clemson, not only will they face quarterback, but they also have some corners that can cover Devontae Smith. Like you've got, can you imagine if Waddle were still there? You've actually got some defensive backs who will be able to hang in against, and you're also much. I mean, you're also we're talking about a great coach and Brent Venables defensively, so. You might get just, but to hold up for the whole game, I just don't see who can do that. Can Ohio State do that?
Their corners actually have had issues.
Sean Wade has not played well.
Their secondary hasn't been great for
them.
We'll see.
We'll see. Florida's. I think Florida's got the only shot because they can play with them offensively.
Yeah.
Well, I think Clemson
and their defense
can,
is good.
Yeah, Clemson can too. I mean, when they get going, they can move the ball. We'll see. Alabama. We've talked about Alabama throughout the decade, and sometimes we're right about how great they are, and other times they run up against Clemson and get Deshaun beat them, and then Trevor Lawrence slapped them around too. So we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. 731 ESPN 97.5 7378037. Anything happen over the weekend that you want to get in on? Let's go. 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Big Philly is going to join us at 8 o'clock, top of the hour. So we'll talk to Philip Rivers about the big win.
Four-year starter at North Carolina State and now has the second longest streak of consecutive games in NFL history behind Brett Favre.
Hall of Famer?
I think so. They talked about it a little bit on the broadcast yesterday. And it's funny. So I got NFL Sunday Ticket on my phone. I'm coming back from Baton Rouge. And I'm not, you know, it's your home game. Your restrictions,
yeah.
I'd be blocked out here.
Yeah.
Blacked out. Their blackout games were Titans, Browns, and Falcons, Saints. So I'm listening. I've got it plugged into my car. I can listen to the game. And on the broadcast, you know, maybe glance. I mean, you know, it's I-10. It's easy. I
might give a glance. You put it right on your odometer. Right.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to.
You can watch it while you're driving.
Yeah, maybe I tell you that whenever I'm.
No, that's what you do.
During the break.
That's what you do.
I don't.
I watch
maybe
movies.
Maybe that happened. Maybe that didn't happen.
Yeah. Well, could have. Not sure.
No. I'm pretty sure that happened.
I'm interested.
Well, if it happened, if it didn't.
Yeah.
It might have.
I at least heard the game. You know, maybe I saw parts of it when I stopped at some point on I-10.
I'm interested to know. How many people with DirecTV made an effort to find a way to watch the game because they couldn't see it on DirecTV?
Yeah, that is interesting to know. My buddy calls me, hey, what the bleep is going on?
Yeah,
here?
I think
why
people
can't
are,
I watch?
You know what's funny is
people still didn't even know.
Here's what's funny is so many people don't watch network television now.
No.
My dad didn't know he didn't have CBS until he went to watch Bama and LSU.
Yeah, no, that's.
He's like, what the?
And he didn't miss anything.
No, I mean, he didn't. Well, he missed Devontae Smith.
Yeah.
There was some great individual Najee Harris running like a violent sack of anger.
Yeah.
But
the LSU guy dropping the ball before it gets in the end zone.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most selfish. That pisses me off more than anything.
I can't believe that.
More
still
than any play in any sport.
It still happens that's the most to this special, day.
That's the most selfish thing you can possibly do. Score the touchdown, Mr. I've got to be so cool that I'm going to drop the ball as soon as I get there
or
before.
That's
so stupid. Anyway,
this ball's not even worth my time.
How about Russell Wilson? KJ brought this up yesterday. Jacoby Brissett, Mike Glennon, and Russell Wilson in Big Philly. Four North Carolina State quarterbacks playing at the same time.
And that's why I brought up him being a four-year starter at NC State. That guy's played a zillion snaps of football. I mean, he just doesn't miss time.
And he's got a foot injury now.
He's got a bad toe. Which, he also is not mobile. So you would think, well, if you're not mobile, you're going to get hit. You're going to get hurt. It's not Big Philly doesn't get hurt.
No.
Yeah, but he's got a bad toe. They say he has a hard time pushing off of it.
Man, I'll tell you this. Because we hear Patrick Mahomes and we've heard Russell Wilson. Aaron Rodgers is his pocket presence.
It's,
his feet in the pocket.
It's phenomenal.
Everything that his awareness, everything about him is, I don't know why From a to me, it's Mahomes and Rodgers.
Well, from a skill, MVP. From a pure skill standpoint, he's probably the most talented quarterback to ever play the game.
Probably.
Arm talent.
Mahomes is getting there, but yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, arm talent, because Aaron has done it for years and years. Arm talent, velocity, as far as, when I say arm talent, the ability to make throws from multiple angles, velocity on throws, to fit it into tight windows, he's one of the greatest ever to do it. Yeah. He might be the greatest ever to do it. His ability to throw the ball accurately down the field, pocket presence, understanding of pressure and being able to extend plays, mobility out of the pocket, release quickness. There's not there. I can't think of a check mark, and he doesn't throw interceptions. I can't think of a check mark he doesn't hit. He's the most talented quarterback to ever play the game from a pure standpoint of, you know, a pure quarterback and athletic trait standpoint. It doesn't get better than Aaron Rodgers.
So why is that? Why I have not heard one person say Aaron Rodgers MVP. I don't get it.
They should. I've heard him mention. Well, Russell's out of it.
Russell's out of it. Russell looked terrible.
This is yesterday. The worst stretch of football, maybe in his career, when you look at it statistically.
Yeah.
It's one of his worst stretches.
He had time, too, yes. Well, maybe they weren't getting open. Maybe the Giants just played unbelievably well defensively. You couldn't. I can't see the All-22. We were just watching the television feed. But he had time. He had plenty of time and just stood there and then finally got sacked. It was as bad a performance as I've ever seen Russell Wilson. But yeah, you're right. He's out of it. He was out of it, I think, a couple of weeks ago. But Aaron Rodgers needs to get more love. That dude is, and quite frankly, LaFleur, what he has done since he got there, it's unbelievable.
It's been impressive.
Really impressive.
He's gotten Aaron Rodgers to buy in. Aaron Rodgers is playing good football. You know, he's got some of that Shanahan vibe to him where, hey, this is the way we're going to do things. He's a smart coach. He's got a lot of confidence for his age, and he gets guys to buy in, you know. And that just because you're a young coach, people get the idea that, oh, a young coach, Sean McVay, you have to have a lot more to get guys to buy in when you're a young coach is hard. They say it's one of the hardest things that you can do is get veterans to buy in, and veterans can turn a locker room. So when you see a young coach like McVay or LaFleur, or Shanahan, although he spent a lot of time being offense coordinator, he spent a lot of time getting ready and making a name for himself. Not LaFleur. LaFleur didn't spend years, you know, at Cleveland, Washington, Atlanta. Those are the places that Shanahan was OC. LaFleur's a young name who comes up and he garners respect, which means he has to carry himself a certain way for guys to really respect him who are veterans. And that's why. You know, that's why it's just not everyone wants the hot young coach all the time. Man, the young coaches sometimes have the biggest challenge getting vets to buy in. And vets can turn people on you. John Gruden, he had that red-ass John. Well, John Gruden's just a different guy, but he was that guy when he was first at, was it Oakland or Tampa? Which one was he first?
He was in Green Bay first as quality control.
The head coach was Oakland? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oakland, Tampa. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Oakland, when he was there, LA Raiders, Oakland, whatever it is, his first head coaching job was Raiders, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where, and in Tampa traded for him. That's where he got guys to buy in, although it was tough, I remember, at first. Because he was like, man, what's this? This little guy didn't even play pro football. He's yapping all the time, this, that, and the other. But he got guys to turn. And I bring that up because from a Texans coaching standpoint, I don't care about getting some young, great coach, but I prefer somebody who's on the come up. I won't get excited about a recycle. I won't. I don't mind a guy who's maybe been a head coach somewhere before. It's not necessarily a game changer, but like, you know, we'll see what happens. There's word on the streets is that John Dorsey's getting some love.
Yeah.
Like John Dorsey is getting love for that Texans position. And if that starts to be the case, then you're talking about a guy who, A, is talented as an evaluator. B, the thing that will be curious is he just came from a situation where he butted heads with a different group in the building, which would be the analytics department, who had the owner's ear. And the analytics department made it tougher for the football side of the building, the personnel side, to do their job because they were in, you know, they didn't work together, really. And they had the owner's ear. That's what's curious to me. Jack Easterby, if he's got the owner's ear and he's a guy that has a lot of sway and power, you know, will he give? Now, I get the feeling, you know, I crack on Jack because I think he deserves all the heat that he gets for if he wants to play the power games, then he deserves to have the light shine on him like Brian Gain would, like Bill O'Brien would, like anyone else. Mm-hmm. That's part of it. You made part of these deals too. I do think that Jack, just to be fair to Jack, I think he has the personality from what I understand that he could get along fine with Dorsey. The question is, does Dorsey or anyone else believe that he won't eventually go to the owner and maybe prematurely sabotage? That's the question. In year three, when you're facing some adversity, do you have the balls to stick it out and to keep fighting as a group, or do you start to cut bait and try to save yourself? You know, do you start playing politics?
Mm. Well, we'll find out. Well,
but
we'll
Dorsey's see. A good – Dorsey's a very Dorsey intriguing would, name to me.
Dorsey would be a great name. Dorsey would be a great, great – he is – look at that Browns team now. Speaking of Coach of the Year, where's Stefanski might be it. And that whole team was put together by Dorsey.
Yeah.
Yep. So
– much of it.
743 ESPN 97.5, and a lot of insurance is put together by TGS.
TGS Insurance puts together insurance for you all the time, and they've switched thousands of people here in the Houston area. I've been so thankful you guys have made that decision to do what I've asked, which is simply, listen, I ask people to do things, and my kids don't do it, but I'm glad that some of you do it. All you have to do is take your phone right now and text the word money to 232323. It's super simple. They send an automated text back that says what's your address. You send that back, and within seconds, you're going to have a firm quote on homeowners insurance. Now, if you want to add, you know, flood insurance, they can do that. Flood insurance is always a separate insurance, but they can do that for you. And if you want to add additional coverage, this is what your standard coverage is. But if you want to add more for maybe you got a bunch of mink coats in there, or giant diamond rings, I don't know, a camper. An RV in your driveway, they can obviously insure that as well. Make sure that you check it out, though, because they are saving people money, and you don't have to pay too much for your homeowner's insurance to get A-rated insurance, and yet so many people do. The average annual savings is $900. Text the word money to 232323.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I mean, all of them are tough. I mean, it's just you can get to a point where you're not, as a player over my career, even back, you know, literally, you haven't lost as many games. I mean, it's tough to handle. You try to hold so much weight on your shoulders where it becomes a breaking point. And, you know, like I always preach, my standard is trying to be legendary, and I'm working towards it. And even regardless, like I said before, you know, it's not only on Nick. You know, I should have caught the ball. That's because I hold myself up, you know, to that legendary standard. So I should have made that catch on that snap. So I was, you know, I just felt like I was just disappointed in for the whole city. You know, I mean, honestly, that's how I took it. You know, everyone might think differently, but I just took it that way. That's why I was sitting on the bench, and that's why I was, because we're so close, and we've been so close these last 4 years since I've been here.
Deshaun Watson, you know, you got to say this about him. From a superstar status standpoint, the Astros have had a few on a single team, which is why they've been one of the best teams. The Rockets have James, and the Texans have JJ, who's not really superstar anymore, but he's still a good player, but not superstar. And then you have Deshaun Watson, who is into superstar status. The one thing about Deshaun is that where I don't expect James to come up big in the most clutch moments. Like I don't feel like he's going to make that big shot. I know he does in a regular season. I mean, and this is the regular season too. So, but I just feel like with Deshaun, and I know some of it goes back to his college, because I've heard the argument, if you took away Deshaun's games against Clemson, Dell made the argument. How do you view him? But he does have enough plays in enough games in the postseasons, in the fourth quarter, late in fourth quarter games, in situations like yesterday, driving you down the field, where you do know he does have the clutch gene. Does it always work out? No. Does he have it? Yeah. You really can't doubt that he has the clutch gene, because he for sure has the clutch gene.
Listen, the argument was made on the broadcast yesterday, which you listened to because you were driving.
We
you
never
couldn't
watch,
hear.
Yeah.
But it was a television broadcast.
By the way,
broadcast.
As soon as I passed into, it literally blacked out. As soon as I got into some area, all of a sudden.
Really?
I'm like, really? I started in Baton Rouge. Can't y'all let me just roll through the whole thing? Mm. Nope.
The argument was being made of all the guys on losing teams, who's the most valuable player? That this wasn't the argument being made. This is my question to you. Deshaun is playing better than, I mean,
should we have a losing team MVP?
No, like, but the comment was made that we put too much emphasis on the winning. Why is it that a guy who's on a losing team that's playing better than everybody or anybody is not in the conversation just because he's on a losing team?
The Ernie Banks corollary.
Right.
I think there's a minimal standard of winning that you have to meet. And it shouldn't have to be. We've seen in baseball where it hasn't been, you know, championship level teams or high end. It seems like it's kind of changed. It's expected that that's what it's going to be, because usually those teams, it's almost like you start, you have to couple them early on. Winning team, good player. And you couple them early on. But Deshaun is a guy who, if you have your top five, Deshaun should be in the top five right now.
Yeah.
I also think it shouldn't just be quarterbacks. I think it's ridiculous that only quarterbacks get that look right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's ridiculous. You really should look at the impact of corners, of pass rushers, running backs. I mean, if there's an offensive lineman there's not one this year, but if there's somebody who makes, obviously Aaron Donald, you can make the argument that Aaron Donald right now is the best player in all of football, ahead of Pat Mahomes, ahead of everybody. You can make that argument every year for him. So he should be in the top three of MVP voting, I think, every year. And this year he's on a winning team. You know, they went in and got a big win yesterday against Arizona. Arizona just not...
Nope.
Just not ready to get over the hump.
They're not ready for it.
They're not.
They're not ready for it. They're not. Next year, year after.
Yeah. They got to keep, you know, having some good off seasons. But yeah, Deshaun, should Deshaun finish in the top five this year? Yeah, he should. Even with the losing team, he should finish in the top five.
No, he's honestly, and again, I keep going, and this that Deshaun is not, I mean, this conversation about Deshaun, if you throw every player in the hopper and you start drafting, Deshaun is going to be a top.
I think he's moved himself up this year, though.
Yeah.
I think it's been a conversation that's been worth having. But over the last five games, Deshaun is really, you know, now that the screamer's out of the building, feels like he's got a lot more, it's just more weight out. I think he's enjoying playing the game more. Of course, winning matters, too. But are you still having your same fights with the same people about Deshaun? Are they still resistant?
They were resistant after last week, and I was like, come on, are you kidding? After that Detroit game, are you kidding, really? Well, that's a crap team. Who cares about that?
Well, you still make plays.
You
mean the team that just went into Chicago and beat them again?
Yeah.
By the way, those are two jobs that are open now.
Oh, absolutely.
GM and head coach will be open.
Absolutely. Yesterday was maybe even more impressive by Deshaun with what he's got to work with now. I mean, we've talked for years about Tom Brady and what he's had to work with and, you know, what he did with zero Hall of Famers around him. Zero. Randy Moss. That, you know, offensively, Gronk. He's played with Gronk, who's going to be a Hall of Famer, and he's played with Randy Moss, who's going to be a Hall of Famer. And otherwise, who are the Hall of Famers that Tom Brady's played with offensively?
Yeah.
I mean, so what Deshaun did yesterday, when Chad Hansen is getting over 100 yards, in 100 receiving yards in his first game with the team called up from the practice squad, like, holy crap.
Hey, that's DW4 being willing to look for him. You know who's a waste? You know what? Jordan Akins, that's a bust. That's a bust. They don't use him. He is a non-factor. this Jordan Akins thing, we're now in year three, and he's still a non-factor.
Yeah.
Kahale Warren, year two, nothing. They got nothing out of these guys. Darren Fells is a nothing. Maybe some of this is on Deshaun. I don't know. I mean, your whole point is to move the ball, score points, and get wins. But I don't know if Deshaun is just not looking for his tight ends, which I do think is really key for him to take a step forward, as they need to be a safety blankets. Or if I just know this. I don't know if Jordan Akins isn't a good player. I know that he's a waste of a draft pick in this situation. What does he ever do?
Well, he'll catch three balls in a game, and then you won't see him for another 3 weeks. For whatever reason.
He's just a non-factor.
No, but it's just I
mean,
don't
this year
it.
He had seven catches in the game against Baltimore.
Yeah.
7 for 55. Since that, here's his targets. 3, 3, 4, 1, 6, 2, 3. He did have 5 for 83 against New England. But yeah, I mean, it's just I don't think they get enough out of him for where they took him. They took him third round, if I remember correctly, maybe fourth. But let me see where it was. Yeah, it was third round. I mean, for a third rounder, dude, Akins isn't an impact blocker. Fells, nothing. Kahale Warren, nothing. It's like, man, Kahale Warren was a third-round pick. Jordan Akins was a third-round pick. You're not really I just don't think you get enough out of those guys.
Nope. All right, Big Philly's going to
By the way, you were out-rushing at one point. I don't think you finished that way, but you were out-rushing the Colts. And then the Colts decided, I don't know what took so long, but they said, let's give it to Jonathan Taylor and see what happens.
Well, we'll ask Big Philly about that because, well, Big Philly said, no, probably going to say, I'll put it on my shoulders. And you know what? That's the way it should be. Yeah. That's probably what Big Philly's going to say.
He's a leader.
Yeah, but he's going to join us on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. In the meantime, we got to talk generators.
Man, Generator Supercenter is somebody you really need to know, and I'm glad they're here with us so we can tell you about them. You know, the power grids, they're not built to, when they were first built, kind of archaic. They're not built to withstand the growth that we have seen in the country in general. And you're going to see more rolling blackouts and issues like that in the future. But what we worry about most here on the coast is when we have the big storms, whether it's wind, just driving through southwest Louisiana and seeing the carnage that's still out there. I was reminded of how wicked the winds were when the hurricane hit. Or for us, you know, it's when the hurricanes and the winds hit, or when transformers go down. Even during cold weather, we can see some issues. So when your power goes out, if it stays out, that can mean your family is without energy and power during a heat wave. It could mean it during a time where there's a cold snap, whatever the case may be. You don't want to be without your electricity. And my friends over at Generator Supercenter are helping you out. For example, you can get the Generac automatic standby generator at your home. They'll install it, and they're the nation's number one Generac generator dealer in the country. The number one dealer. And this gives you a chance. It's not a little portable unit to take around with you. This is going to be a unit that's built in there. And when your energy goes off at any time, boom, the generator kicks in and you are back up and you are back working. And this is something you want to take a look at right now, not when it's too late, not whenever everyone's trying to rush to get a generator when the next hurricane is coming. Give them a call and they'll give you a free estimate. 281-377-9774. That's 281-377-9774 for a free estimate. They've got Generac automatic standby generators. The financing's available with low monthly payments. Now is the time for you to reach out to Generator Supercenter, 281-377-9774.
This is ESPN 97.5.